that determined glorious place where we would love to be and love to see. Hope someday to be.
Yeah.
So all her suffering is over.
Amen.
Still suffering to go through. And it's great to be at Old Mill Church. I grew up under Elder J.R. Wilson as a child, but I hope you don't expect that kind of preaching from me, because I'm still learning. And trust I'll learn on until the day I leave this earth. Because when the tree quits growing, it dies. So I want to grow. Good to be with Brother Gary and Brother Danny, and I love Brother Jamie and those. I love all of you. This, when I heard the beautiful hymns of praise, I know the Lord is here.
Yes.
Whether he's with me or not, I don't know. But I know he's here because I felt it. And that's a great blessing to be in the house of God.
Yes.
Among those that love God. Hear your lift his name above every name that is named under heaven or among men. What a day it is. Amen. I thought about a neighbor of mine. He said to me, you a sinner. You have to accept the Lord. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, wonder who he offered himself to.
That's right.
So, did he offer himself to me? So as I began to look at his word,
right,
and to study his word, and I read Job saying, you know, Bildad was giving Job a hard time because of his being a sinner. And he says, I know it is true, but how can a man be just with God?
Right.
That's the problem this morning with me, is how can I be just with God?
Yep.
And I realize that there must be an offering made.
Yes.
But I have not the offering.
No.
So I want to know where the offering is and who the offering is. And so I'm looking through his word, desiring that he would open his word to me, that I might understand how that, or what God has done for this poor sinner. Job said, if I justify myself, my mouth will condemn me.
Right.
So I know that he said, if I say I'm perfect, my mouth will, I say I'm perverse. So I'm telling you this morning that I'm not saying that I'm perfect by any means, but I go to one who is perfect for the things that I stand so much in need of. And I realize that to be justified before God, for a sinner to be justified, it means that there must be a process by which he is made acceptable to a holy and a perfect God. How is that going to be?
Right.
That I will be made perfect, yep, to live with a perfect and eternal God. So, as I meditate upon these things, I realize as I go to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, I find the apostle writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So God has some children in this world.
Amen.
And I realize that it's his. He's the father. So he's the one who makes the children. And he says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath, I'm going to stop right there. Hath loved us.
Yeah.
The love of God is so wonderful. 1 John says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us,
right,
we should be called the sons of God. Can you imagine God loving a poor sinner? One covered with sin, one black and dark and dead. My oldest child, we built our house and we dug the basement, and we live in the reddest clay that's ever been made. And that clay was piled out, and it rained the 2 weeks before we moved into our house that we built. And that little boy was about 3 or 4 years old, and he gets out and gets covered with mud. And his mother looks at the carpet, new wood floors. You think she's going to let him come in that house with that mud all over him? No, she takes him and washes him. She doesn't throw him away. Because she loves him. And God loved you before you ever fell in sin. And he did not quit loving you after you fell in sin, because he tells us in the 5th chapter of the Roman letter, he says, God commendeth his love toward us.
Right.
In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
So why would he love a sinner like me? But I trust he did. And so the thing of comes about is that we've got to be cleansed of that sin. My wife cleansed him with the mud. Water will wash off mud.
That's right.
And it'll wash off your conscience, but it won't wash off sin.
Yeah.
There's only one thing that'll take away sin. That's blood. And the blood of bulls and goats on the set, you owe a debt. You owe me. And you've got to pay me.
Right.
And they said, we don't have anything to pay with. When I started on the rural mail carrier, man came to me and said, my daddy and you were good friends. Me and your dad were good friends.
Yeah.
I get it right. Would you loan me some money? He always loaned me a little money. I said, well, how much do you need? He said, I'd like to have $3 today, and I'll pay you Saturday. I haven't seen that Saturday yet. And every time he'd see me, he'd cross the street. Didn't want to meet me face to face, you know. Well, if you loan somebody some money, if they can't pay you, you'd rather they'd come and tell you that I'll pay you when I can, but I can't pay you today.
Yeah, right.
And they were, that was the setup that God set them up with, those offerings.
Remember.
Which couldn't put away sin, but it could say, I still owe the debt.
That's right.
So, the first time, you know, they had a lamb, and they killed that lamb, and the whole congregation killed it. Why? Because everyone that he represented, he took their sins. Every sin of everyone for whom he represented was laid on him. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And God saw the blood and passed over Israel and delivered them. And so, when he sees his blood, you see, he came to justify us. We read in the 8th chapter of the Roman letter, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Oh, he's got a people that he elected.
Yes.
He's got a people that he foreknew. He's got a people that he loved with an eternal and everlasting love.
Amen.
He's got a love that his love is unchangeable.
Right.
His love is eternal. It's everlasting.
Right.
And he loved them so great that he told his Father and the Holy Spirit, I'll pay the debt.
Amen.
And Jesus came. Not as a grown-up person.
No.
He came as the very least one to represent all of those that have died before they were ever separated from their mother's womb. Everyone that he foreknew will live with him in heaven in immortal glory because he loved them.
Amen.
And that love is stronger than death because he's coming back.
Amen.
Not to do the work he's done,
right,
but to take home what he bought and paid for.
Amen.
I went to the grocery store the other day and thought I'd left part of my groceries and I'd paid for them. I was upset. I had to go back and see if I could get it. I'm going to tell you, he's not going to leave some of them behind.
No, he's not.
He knows them all.
Every one of them.
He died for them.
Yes,
and his Father gave them to him. And they're in his hands. The safest place that the Father could put them was in the hands of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to deliver them up.
Yep.
One grand and glorious day.
Yep.
So I told you, I read it, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to you, to God.
Yep.
To God.
Amen.
For a sweet smelling Savior. You are a sweet smelling Savior to God.
Right.
Because he loves you so greatly that he gave his Son to die for you, that you might live eternally. Where there'd be no suffering and no sorrow, no heartaches and sickness and pain, but dwell in a land of perfection. Can I imagine today what that dear sister in soul and spirit is saying? We were riding last night and saw the moon, that big pretty moon sitting up there. And I said to Brother Barry, I said, can you imagine that in the sky up there with nothing to hold us?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what, a man can put it up there and make it stay.
That's right.
I know. No wonder we believe there's a God if we put our faith and confidence in him. Because he has the power. When I saw the light of that moon, I thought, man walked on that moon. And yet, a beautiful light. How does it have a light? It gets its light from the sun.
Amen.
It says you and I get our light from God, Jesus. You were darkness at one time, but now you're light in the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
He gave you the light of life. That shows you what you are by nature. What you're going to have to be by grace.
Right.
That's why you cry. That's why you mourn. You don't have to come down to the mourner's bench.
That's right.
You mourn. I've cried at the barn. I've cried behind the old mule. I've cried in many places over my condition and seeing myself a poor undone sinner. Ask myself, how can a man like me live with a perfect being where there's perfection? Surely I've come up short. God is the justifier, we're told in the 8th. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? For it's God that justifies.
Amen. Amen.
So he's done the work. Take away our sins, I thought about. In the 16th chapter of Leviticus, you know, I told you about the first Passover where they used one lamb, but they used two. Why did they use two? Because Jesus Christ is a two-type person. He's barely God and barely man. I'll tell you why he had to be a man, because God cannot die.
Right.
God has never died and never will die. But man dies. Man had to die for that sin. He told man. Man is the one who is guilty.
Yes.
Brother J.R. Wilson showed us that man is the one that brought sin into this world, and man is a sinner. Not God. But man has to bear the responsibility. God laid on his son the iniquity of us all. That's all in the covenant. A grace that was made before the foundation of the world between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And because he bore our sins in his own body, that didn't make him a sinner, but he became sin for us. He died for us. And we became free from sin. No wonder he says in the 5th chapter of the Roman letter there, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. Not your righteousness, not my righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Amen.
By Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
So God sent his son that he loved. Now how much did he love you? We're told in the prayer in the 17th chapter of St. John that as he has loved the son, so has he loved you. Wonder when that began. I don't know. All I know is what I read from him and what he's desired to reveal to me. But God knew you in eternity and loved you and sent his son to die for you. What a great love. What a tremendous love. And that son did not shirk his duty. He told the Father, I'll pay their debt, and he fulfilled his promise. He shall save his people from their sin. I believe he did it.
Amen.
I will go to the Hebrew letter, the 9th chapter. Paul writing to the church, the Jewish church, the Hebrew brethren. In the 14th verse of that 9th chapter, he says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, you see, the Spirit and the Son were working together, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot. The world says to the sinner, but I'm going to tell you this morning, the truth is it was to God.
That's right.
For the sinner.
Yeah.
So God, Jesus, offered himself as a man for you with the blood that was a perfect sacrifice. Shedding it to wash your sins away unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So God saw you, cleansed you through Jesus, and one of these days you're going to be fitted. You know, the natural is first and then the spiritual. That which is born of flesh is flesh. You must be born again. That's not a proposition, that's a declaration. And God said that so that we would know that Jesus, our Father, comes to us. If children, then heirs of God. What is an heir? They have a father. They have either by adoption or by birth, or take them in. But you're by adoption and by birth.
Yes.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to what you did?
No.
According to his own good will. God desired to have you in his family.
Amen.
And you probably didn't know, I know you didn't know him, but he knew you.
Amen.
He knew you first, and then you knew him.
Amen.
He introduced himself to you. And I believe I can pretty well prove by this Bible that everyone to whom a preacher went to in this testament to preach the gospel to knew the Lord before that minister got there. If you can prove otherwise, I'll be glad to take your proof. But you know, I want you to prove it to me. I know Cornelius knew the Lord before Peter got there.
No doubt.
And so, he was a praying man.
Yeah, he was.
If you prayed to God, how do you know him?
So,
he introduced himself to you, and you prayed to him. So, Jesus is a mediator. You know, Job said, there's no base man betwixt us that can lay his hand on them and lay his hand on the Lord. Jesus hadn't come yet. But the same, Job said, "But I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand at the latter day on the earth." I believe that he saw him come and take a body and live here among us. Yeah. Put away our sins. I know that my Redeemer. Yeah. You know what redemption is? Redemption, buy back that what belongs to you.
Yeah.
If I take my watch and take it to the pawn shop and leave it, they might sell it. If I don't come and claim it, but you can't redeem it. It don't belong to you. It's mine. Therefore, I'll go and redeem it if I have the money to. When I was in service, I have a Japanese rifle and a pistol that a guy hawked to me. In other words, he needed some money, and I'd had a little bit, and he never did come back and claim it, so I kept it. But I never sold it, and he never has come to redeem it. But he could get it back if he come and redeem it. He could get it back. So he's a mediator of the New Testament. And that means by death for the redemption of the transgressions. Under the first testament, they were to call might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So Jesus Christ came, paid our debts. I thought about, also I was telling you about the two goats. You know, one of those goats died. He was for the Lord, and he was the high priest. Slayed that goat, took the blood, and of course put on the mercy seat. And the other goat, he laid his hands on the top of his head and confessed all of the sins of the whole house of Israel. You see, who is a He's a Jew, which is one inwardly.
Right.
A circumcision is not in the flesh, it's in the heart. And I think the Jew was a spiritual person, people in the Israelite nation. And therefore, that's why Paul refers to it as a Jew is one that's he's a spiritual person. And so, but Israel was a representative, a figure of this house of God, and in other words, the family of God that Jesus came to die for and to give his life a ransom for. So by one offering, those other offerings went on every year. Every year. And they were required to do that in order to show that they knew they owed the debt. But this offering, by one offering, it ceased. Never to be offered anymore. Why? It paid in full. Jesus paid that debt in full. We have the receipt for it. That's why we sit at this table.
That's right.
Because we say aloud and to the world, he came and paid my debt.
Amen.
And I trust I'm set free from sin. We are dead in sin. Then when he quickens us, I have a lady from one of those big churches in Charlotte. She told me how many deacons they had, how much money they collected every Sunday and all of this. And then she said, but I've never been dead. Never been dead. I said, you've never been quickened, have you?
Yes.
She looked at me rather funny. I said, quickened means made alive.
Right, exactly.
And God says, you have equipped
them, amen,
which were dead in trespasses and dead in sin. There's a walking dead.
Yeah.
And so we got the walking dead, you remember. So that's the kind. I was one time a walking dead, I'm sure, because I didn't understand when Brother Wilson would sit down on one of those points and I'd lie on with my head on my daddy's leg and lying on the bench, and it would rouse me up and scare me.
Yeah.
But yet, there come a time when I realized that what he was talking about was very important.
Amen.
Very necessary for a poor sinner to hear that good news.
Amen.
That's from a far country like full water for a thirsty soul. Oh, how I've tried to drink the cup. I'm going to give you a little of my experience, just a little. I was in Petersburg, Virginia, in service. I'm going to bring my remarks to a close after this. And I'd gone to Wingate College, which was, they had an Armenian, that was all Armenian. I took a Bible course and all of that, you know. But I had this idea, well, if I don't take him overseas, how's he going to get overseas?
Yes.
And you know, the Korean War was on in force at that time. And we were out in the field. And I didn't know what the next week was going to be. I knew they were going to call out and tell us who was going to Korea. And I said, Lord, if I get over there and you're not over there, what am I going to do?
Right.
He said to me, you're wrong. You've been wrong, haven't you?
You've been wrong.
You've been thinking you had to carry him over there. He's not over there. How are you going to be taken care of?
Right.
You're talking about poor sinner weeping over that. Why have I misspent my life thinking about how little God is and how great I am?
Amen.
Why have I not been thinking about how great he is? how he can take care of me.
Amen.
I'm going to give you another little thing that took place with me and my wife.
Keep on, bro.
She had come up there at that time to Petersburg. I was in the quartermaster corps, instructor in the Army school there. And we'd been going to the town places around there, the church. I said, there's a church somewhere in this area that preaches what I heard as a child. And I want to find it. So Lou and I got in the car and we rode the roads around Petersburg, Virginia. And I passed this man, had a hood up on his car, raised up, and he was down there working. I pulled in the yard. I said, I don't know if you know anything about what I'm looking for, talking about at all or not, but I have to talk to somebody. I said, I'm looking for a Primitive Baptist church. And I know there's bound to be someone in this area because Virginia is the ground of it. In other words, I knew about the old Catoctin Association and so on. So, he raised up out from under his hood and he looked at me and kind of grinned and he said, let me go call my wife. He went to the door and called his wife and she came out to on the porch. He said, you tell her what you told me. I said, I'm looking for a Primitive Baptist church and I think there's one in this country, but I don't know where it is. I didn't know they were meeting in another order's house. They were meeting a Methodist church after they would come out, they'd go in. But anyway, here's what she said to me. Biggest smile came over her face and she said, there's going to be preaching in my house tonight.
Lord.
This old preacher from Alabama,
yes,
down in Mud Creek area, had come through there and he stopped at that house and preached and went on to the Bear Creek Association. I'll give you just a little bit more because this is on me.
Yeah.
I went out there that night to the house, my wife and I. And there was a good little group of people in the house. And the first thing he said when he got up, he said, I had a problem as a child. I couldn't read and write and never did learn to read and write. And the Lord called me to preach. He says, my wife has to read the Bible to me and I memorize it. He said, I can, my memory is such that I can remember. And you know what the devil said?
Yeah, I know what he said.
What can he teach you?
Right.
But he made me ashamed before that night was over. You know how he made me ashamed? He said, have you ever used a hoe? And I've done a lot of hoeing milk. That old cotton. And I said, I've used a hoe. He said, when you don't have any education, you have the gift. That's like having just the hoe. He said, have you ever tried using a hoe without a handle? He said, that's a hard job.
Yeah.
He said, that's why it's so hard for me to preach the gospel, because I have a hard time studying. But he said, you've got the handle, and it's easier for you. So, I'll tell you that, this is my experience. I told my neighbor then, God didn't. He doesn't require me to make an offer to Him. I'm required to offer to Him, but not. I don't accept His offering to me. He didn't make an offering to me that I have to accept. I have an offering to make to Him. I have to present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him. He accepts me. I don't accept him. I don't have to accept him. He's already come to me and accepted me, I trust, in him. So, I love him because he first loved me.
Amen.
I love his gospel. I love his truths. And I leave it with Brother Garrett. May God bless you, Brother Garrett.
Come on.
I said, Father.